Let's just pray before we start. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for your good promises. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your word for us this morning, and we receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what God put on my heart to speak about is hope. What the Lord had done about a few nights ago, which is the 30th of December, he woke me up and he started speaking to me about hope. He had spoken that to me earlier in September, and so I was going to speak exclusively on it, but I really didn't know what direction to go other than speaking about hope. But what the Lord reminded me this morning is he had me get my journal from last year. What he basically wanted me to do is first give a summary. So I know everybody went through what happened last year with the COVID. Looking back on it, it's just kind of one of those crazy things people don't plan for. But I'm grateful to God for how he preps us, because he had done that, but sometimes we weren't paying attention, you know. But sometimes that's what needs to wake us up. Amen. Which I find it funny, because Pastor Dave was just talking about remembering this morning, because that was one of the main things God wanted me to talk about today, is recalling, rehearsing the goodness of God, like bringing it to mind. Because sometimes when God's done good things in your life for a while, and then you kind of forgot. So like for me, one of the major things that happened in my life was how God saved my son from being, you know, from death, or even being born with all kinds of stuff. But I am grateful, because through that time we had to learn to fight like we never fought before, using the word of God, using faith, using our words, and the people that were surrounding us at the time that we allowed to speak into our lives. And even people that did not know what was happening, but they were speaking things that actually affirmed what God was doing. It was so amazing how God does that when we really need it. I looked back on my journal and how God in his faithfulness started this rehauling of my life in so many ways, and bringing me back to the basics, which is my faith. I want you all to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 13 down to verse 19. So the Lord first really spoke to my heart and highlighted this scripture to me from on the 18th of September. That's when that word became so loud in my spirit. And it was a critical time too, with everything that was happening. I was back at work, and with all the procedures with COVID and all the fear-mongering, you know, how people are so scared. And then also me having to use wisdom, and everything had changed. The world had changed in so many ways. So it says in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 6, it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself, 'I will indeed bless you, and I will greatly multiply you.' And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham obtained the promise." And we all know the story. Everything in the natural for Abraham had looked hopeless. Sarah was about 90 or 80 at the time. She was past the childbearing years, as you all know. So he was waiting for a long time. He ended up having another son by the servant. But the promise came so much later. I think Sarah at the time then was 90 and he was 100 or something like that. But that is something so impossible. While Abraham was waiting, God was also there to reassure Abraham everything was going to be okay. And he had promised it. And Abraham had believed him. So verse 16 says, "For people swear by something greater than themselves, and for them a confirming oath ends every dispute." One of the things I believe God's going to do in these, again, is bring us back to the absolutes. You know, for a while there, people's words weren't good anymore. They had to write a paper, and even that, people were able to wiggle out of agreements and contracts and things. But what God is wanting to do is bring us back when we say our word, this is it, then we don't change. And we're held to it, like our covenants. When we make covenants, we keep it, right? And our word is our bond, our word is good, because God is that way. That is the nature of our Father, and that is inside us. Verse 17, because God wanted to show his unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, he guaranteed it with an oath. We are the heirs of the promise. Abraham's children, by faith, are the heirs of the promise. Oh yes, I love this, because this is what came, like, God so bright and highlighted in my mind. Verse 18, so that through two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. And those words, seize the hope, got, like, jumped out at me. Seize the hope. And that to me was a word God started, like, speaking to me about, like, seize the hope. Because there was so much hopelessness, there was so much fear, there was so much information out there, people feeling overwhelmed, people got tired of being, of all the restrictions and things that were happening. You know, your mind can get tired if you're like, you don't see an end to things, you know? Sometimes you can get weary. So what God spoke to me here is, seize the hope. Seize the hope set before you. And so that's something that had to change, the change for me is, and I had to come back to the thing is that God does not lie. It's, those are the two unchangeable things. He made a promise, his promise and his word, his oath. Amen?
Yeah.
So, and it says in verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The anchor is what keeps the ship from floating off and going away from where it needs to be. So when God has set you in a spot, you know, he don't want you to move, right? And so our lives, we know everything has been moving, everything has been shaking, and some people were moving the goalposts all the time, so we don't know what's secure, but we know that when we've set our faith in Jesus Christ, in his word, that becomes the anchor. So he says that's what anchors our soul, especially now, because the thing is, we know our spirit is born again, everything is perfect in our spirit man. Our body is going through this event, but the soul, that is what is being shaken right now. Everything our soul relies on, you know, because it lives by our senses. We experience this life through our five senses. Touch, taste, smell, sight. Did I miss? I miss one. I'm missing one. Is it feel or hearing? The five senses, we experience it. We experience that with our physical bodies, and it affects our minds where our soul resides, right? And it affects our intellect and our minds. So I know, I mean, it's not just me, but I know it's been a lot of mind battles, you know? Especially if you're active on social media, there's a lot of mind battles because there's a lot of people saying things. There's so many opinions. There's so much there, but God is drawing us back to his word, and that's what God said to me at the beginning of everything, in March. He said, wield your sword. Well, it didn't mean like I had to go find a sword. He just meant this, the word, his word. Yeah. I had to learn to pick it up. At first he said, pick it up. Then he said, wield it. So that was what he was wanting me to do, was not only read it to know and remind myself the promises, but also to use it so I can tell myself, encourage myself, so I can encourage other people, because I was around a lot of people. You all know I'm a school photographer, so I'm around a lot of people throughout the week. I'm at different location, you know, different situations every week. But that's what I had to lean on. I had to trust the promise of God. When our pastor and apostle prayed protection over us, that nobody gets sick, I took that promise and I appropriated it too for my co-workers, because there's like over 60 of us that go all over the state and other states. So I had to appropriate that, not just for me, but for my co-workers. And thankfully, by the grace of God, by his mercy, none of them got sick. And that's a miracle in itself, because we travel everywhere. But I had to seize the hope, the word of God that gives me life, who I have proven and have seen in my life how faithful he is, because of what he did to my son, for example. That just was just one thing. He's done other things in my life where he said, go here. And I went and I did not know the big example is I was living in Indiana, and I was a college student at the time, new in the faith, and the Lord told me to go find my father that I had not seen since I was 10. But it was such a compelling thing. So I went, and he lived in Samoa. I had no idea where to start. So one day I was down there, and I went downtown, and I saw him. I found my father, and it was a long story, but God not only saved him, called him to the ministry, but all my siblings are serving the Lord, either in ministry or with businesses. So that is the faithfulness of God. But I had to seize the hope. So throughout my life, God brings me to these points where I have to learn to seize the hope that's found in the Word of God. And I can tell you, it is, that's how I've tested the Lord, and I've tasted, and He is good. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So that was in Hebrews where God had me parked. Now, the other thing that happened is, go over to 1 Corinthians. Now, this is what the Lord spoke to me before the year end, because all last year, Pastor Raina was encouraging us to find a word, our word for the year. My word last year was unencumbered, meaning, you know, not with all the stuff. I always think of somebody who's so full of stuff. If you're heavy laden, basically, the way I took it. And there were three steps that God had me to do, which is, one is let go. The second one is honor and forgive. So toward the end, like when December came up toward the end of the year, I'm like, God, I don't know if I did all that. But it has been that process throughout the whole year with everything happening. I was at those points a lot. God kept bringing me to those points where I had to let go of stuff. I had to let go of stuff that I relied on in the past years. I had to let go of things that I was holding on to that wasn't good for me, right? And then I had to learn how to honor people in my life, you know, like honor my husband, and even people in authority over me, and even at my work, the people I work with, learning to honor, and then also forgiving people, and even the slightest little things, you know, because there's a lot of things, like I'm on social media too, so I see all the insults, I see the things people say, and I had to learn to forgive, but also in my own life. So it was this whole thing, the whole year was this process of doing that. So on the 30th, I'm like, God, I don't know if I've done all that, but there was some things God was really dealing with my heart, and I had to let it go and forgive. Amen. And so that was when God brought me to 1 Corinthians, if you all go over there. As a prayer warrior, there's a lot of things. I know most of you are probably watching and following along with everything happening politically in this country, because this country is at a crossroads. It's at a very critical point in its existence. But I praise God that He's a faithful God, and He is there, amen, to guide His people through it. So 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, this is where the Lord started speaking to me. I was so excited. That became the hope for me. This is one of the newest things that He's beginning to highlight my life, and I'm hanging on to this. He says in verse 6, start at verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Okay, there's a lot of people are scheming and doing things, you know, that we don't know. You know, some of the stuff God is bringing to light, and He's going to bring that more to light. But I've seen a lot of believers afraid and fearful or saying things, you know, I'm like, you know, and sometimes some of that can trouble us, you know. If we're looking at that, not looking at that, at the Lord or His Word to anchor us, that can trouble us. So I was really troubled. I had been troubled because of everything that I had been listening to or seeing. And also, you know, just the sense, you know, as the Lord leads me to pray and stuff. And then when the Lord showed me this, I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus, because you promised that the wisdom of the rulers of this age, they are coming to nothing. Now, for me, that's a hope thing. That's a thing I can grab. That's a hope I am seizing and I'm holding on to. Amen? Verse 7. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. That's a good Father. He's prepared good stuff for us, for our glory. This is His mercy. This is His kindness. Verse 8. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, you know, they talked about the enemy overplaying his hands. Yes, he does, because he does not have the wisdom of God. He does not see what God's going to do. Amen? But as it is written, verse 9, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Wow, that's such a promise. I'm like, I can bank my life on that. I can hang my life on that. It says that he's got good things for me. You know, a lot of us memorize Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not evil. This is the same, it's kind of like the same thing here. Amen? God's got cool plans for us. That it says no eye has seen it. So nobody's seen it, what God's got for you. No ear has heard it. No human heart has conceived it. These are new things, because our God is the creator. He knows our beginning from the end. So he has got good things. His mind toward us is good. His thoughts toward us are good. Amen? Verse 10. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. I mean, we barely scratch it, right? But the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we need at the time. He is so hopeful. He's the one who gives us hope so we can hold on to it. Amen? Amen. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except his spirit within him? That's a logical question. We all know that. Nobody knows your thoughts. Only you do, and God who sees it, right? So if his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, knows the mind of God, then for sure he can tell us what we need to know. Amen. The devil doesn't know it. It's a lot of people freaking out, you know, because the devil, we heard the enemy's doing this, he's doing that, all the threats, all the things. It doesn't matter, because he don't know what God can do, because God is bigger. Amen? Amen. And it does say in verse 6, the wisdom of the rulers of this age, they're coming to nothing. So thank God for that. So, but God has good things for his people. Let's see. In the same way, this is verse 11 still, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. I can take that. I can see that as a hope for me, because I believe that God, by his Holy Spirit who dwells in me, can reveal to me the mind of God for a situation that I'm in, or for what I need to know, right? So we don't stop panicking and getting all fearful. Amen? Verse 12, now we have not received the spirit of the world. Amen, I'm glad for that. But the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. I like that. And that is a powerful truth right there, because like I just said earlier, the Holy Spirit of God, he's the one that can reveal to us what God has given to us. So here is something that happened to me. Because when I was reading that scripture the other night, it just like jumped out at me, and God was showing me, he's like, the enemy does not want us to know what has been freely given to us by God. The enemy doesn't want us to know. And there are times like you'll have an inkling of it, or you'll know it, right? Intellectually, a lot of us know that Jesus Christ has forgiven us our sins. He's given us the ability to overcome the devil. We are more than conquerors. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus, right? So all those promises, and then things happen, and then we kind of forget that stuff. But God wants us, by his Holy Spirit, not just to know intellectually, but to have an understanding of that. So when we live our lives, we're living out of that understanding. Amen? Yeah. And that we understand we have a good inheritance. There's a scripture in Psalms talking about how we have a good inheritance. And I kept saying that to my sisters. My sisters and I, we talk about once a week. We were talking about our history and all the things that had happened to us as young people, you know, in our young years. But I kept saying, because God has been speaking to me at the time about that we have a good inheritance. And that good inheritance came because of faith, having believed the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our life under his lordship. That's when our inheritance changed. Because there were some things, you know, that was not good from our family, you know what I mean? I'm sure everybody has that stuff. But you take the inheritance from Jesus Christ, because he died and then he gave you his Holy Spirit, then God will show you through his word what you got. Amen? So if you don't know what God has given you by the Holy Spirit, or given to you because you became his son or his daughter, his child, find it in here. Amen? The anchor the Word of God that becomes an anchor for our soul. Find it, because this is where our hope will begin to spring up, from the Word of God. Amen. Words. I tell you what, the enemy uses words to scare us. You know what I mean? With thoughts and stuff. But the Word of God, words also, it's what created the universe. It's what brought everything into being. It's what causes things to happen. The enemy can speak his stuff, but so can we. We can speak louder, and we can speak with confidence because we know who our God is. Amen? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what God has given you, seek it out. Find it in his word. Amen? What Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Those words, that portion of scripture, the Lord used it to really start, like, stirring my mind, so I don't go off on a tangent, because sometimes there's things that are happening, people are going off on tangents. But God has given his promise to his people and through his Holy Spirit, and so we hang on to that. Amen. We all need hope right now with a new year. Find out what God wants you to focus on this year in your life. If you don't know what God has given you, find it. I'm repeating myself, but I really felt like that is something that we really need to seek out this year. You know, what does God have for you? What is he wanting you to do this year? And how are you going to grow in your relationship with him? Amen? Because I've noticed relationships change over time, you know. But you keep working, you keep growing at the way it needs to go. So it's a healthy relationship. So it produces life. Amen? So seize the anchor that keeps you from floating away. Because the Bible talks about there will be a falling away. You know, we don't want to go there. We're going to hang on to Jesus. We're going to hang on to Jesus through the tough times. Because he's the one that has gone behind that veil, you know. So our hope, our faith hangs on to Jesus. Hangs on Jesus. So we hang on to him as we ride through the hard times. Amen? Mm-hmm. And he's the one who will speak to you what you need at the time for your situation. Because he is like that. He's able to pinpoint to you what you need to focus on or what you need to pay attention to at that time. So one of the things I really believe this year is God's going to call these people back where they're going to be engaged in the process of being a believer on the earth right now. You know, not be so distracted, because there's so many things that can distract us right now. Don't just listen to what's going on out there. Really listen to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do and what he's speaking to his people. So find out, pinpoint, and seize the hope, because God has given it to us. It's right there in front of us. Amen? So we're not like that ship that's like, the Bible talks about, it's like, you know, going, it's like you're not stable. I can find a word there for a minute, but God will give you the stability you long for, the stability in your mind, especially that's where a lot of the battles are happening. Because that's what the enemy speaks to, is the mind. Or he tries to get you to speak things, you know. And one of the things I thought that was amazing was when Pastor David was talking about rehearsing this morning. Because God had just reminded me the story of David and Goliath, right? Because some people say, don't hang your faith on experience. True. Your faith, you know, Jesus Christ was the one who authored it. Use a word to author and put the roots down with your faith using the word of God. Amen? There was something about experience too. Like in my job, that was one of the core values, was experience. So they can give you all the information. So you get all the information in your head. You know how to do the job. You get the hands on. But what will help you with curveballs, with things that you are not expecting, is experience. Because you know you've been trained, right? You know what's going to happen. You know what's expected. But when there's something happened that's not expected, you know exactly what to do, so you're not freaked out. You have the thing to anchor you, right? And so experience can do that to you. You've proven the word of God. You say to yourself, God has brought me through this thing before. This thing happened years ago, and he brought me through it. Or this thing happened last week, and he brought me through it. Wow, I don't think he's going to let me fall down now. He's not going to leave me there where I'm at. And that's, I've had to do that to myself a lot. Talk to myself and say, wait a minute, God brought me through this thing before. He's not going to forsake me now because he said he won't. And that's true. God will never forsake you because he made the promise. You've been through one thing with God before. He's going to take you through another thing again. He's going to take you through whatever's going on right now. Amen. So we have things that has happened in our lives, our experiences as a believer, as a Christian, as a person, that we've seen the faithfulness of God. You know, you can use that experience to say he's done it before. Because David did that when he was going to go kill Goliath. He was before Saul, and Saul, because he looked at him as like a young kid there. It's like, how can you go? That guy, Goliath, has had experience. He's been a fighting man since his youth. And here you are, you know, he's dressed like a shepherd boy. I mean, he just came over to bring food for his brothers. So Saul, King Saul, was like, how can you go fight the experienced guy, that guy over there? Well, David had also had experience. He says, well, this is what I do. The bear comes, I'll kill it. The lion comes. I'm paraphrasing. But David was rehearsing what had happened. His experience said, well, he has faith in God, and God, he's killed a bear, he's killed a lion before, so that's amazing. So Goliath's killed his people, but so has David. Amen? David was rehearsing that. He says, I've gone through something like that, and God brought me through. Amen? So the same with us. You can say that about yourself. Well, I prayed, and God answered me. I sought the Lord about this, and he heard me. And he provided. Or it's like that. That's how our relationship was with God. Amen. We've seen, we've proven him at his word, and he is true. It's unchangeable. God cannot lie. He is a truth teller all the time because he is truth. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I am so excited that you're a God who puts hope in your people. I thank you for what your son Jesus has done, coming to earth, dying on the cross for us. He sits at your right hand, interceding for us, our advocate. Thank you, Father God, and I pray today that those who have heard me, Lord God, will have their hope renewed in you, the faithful God, the God who's come to rescue and help your people, the God who wants us prepared to see you again. And I thank you for that. I thank you for refreshed hope this year. I thank you for renewed hope, my God. I thank you for the turning of hearts towards you in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And just before we finish, I just want to read this scripture, one of the scriptures that really came alive to me this year. One of the scriptures, you know how they say the names of God? When you meet him in certain places, he becomes like Jehovah Jireh when you're in a need, you know, like that. Okay, one of the names of God that became alive to me last year is God of Armies, because that's what he started speaking to me in March when everything went kaput and started going down, you know, where it's been. I found the scripture again. It's in Amos chapter 4, verse 13. It says, he is here. The one who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. The one who makes the dawn out of darkness and strides on the heights of the earth. The Lord, the God of armies, is his name. And I pray that you'll see that your God fighting for you in whatever your situation you're in, that you'll see the God of armies come through for you. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Praise God. That's a good word. Thank you, Pastor Loa, for sharing that. I believe I have a prophetic word. So the prophetic word that I believe I have is, I was kind of reflecting some more on that football game that I mentioned earlier. And it was the year that the Broncos went to the Super Bowl. And I'm just kind of sharing some details with you to get into the word. But I can't remember anything really that happened that whole season. I don't remember the specifics of all the other games. But this was a must-win game, this game that they were in. It was like if they didn't win this, they're not going to the postseason. I think it was like one of those types of games. And we were behind. I remember that much. I don't remember all the scores. I could get you the details. But essentially, Peyton Manning had been out all season. He had injured himself. He hadn't been playing for, you know, multiple games. Anyway, we're behind. It's the second half. It's like there's basically no hope, right? It's like the game is, you know, there's just no way. Well, Peyton Manning came in. They put Peyton Manning in. Of course, I don't know. I got excited about that just because he's a great quarterback. Anyway, so he comes into the game, and again, the details escape me, but the point is we won the game. We won the game. It was a turnaround game of the season is what I was thinking as I was reflecting earlier. That was the turning point of the season because it propelled the team, the fans, everybody into the postseason, right? Manning's back. We just won the game. We're in the postseason, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the pinnacle. If, you know, as a football team, right, that's what it's all about, is to make it to the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl. Well, that game was the turning point. Here's what I believe is the prophetic word, or what it is that the Lord put on my heart for us, for Square One, for the church in the earth. I believe there's a turning point, right? There's a lot of things that have gone on. There's victories and failures. There's maybe a through, you know, an interception. Good stuff, bad stuff's happened. But there comes a point in time where there's like this turning point. It's like that was the turnaround game. That was the moment, right? It's like that was the game. I believe we're at that time right now. Whatever season we're in, there's a lot going on in our world. I believe, as I've mentioned to you many times, that there's a shaking going on. We've seen a lot of that shaking. But we have received what? A kingdom that is cannot be shaken. Amen. That is the foundation of our life. So as we stand on that foundation, I believe we're going to see things turn around. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's turnaround time. It's going to be a turnaround game. We're going to see some awesome things, some phenomenal things, the goodness of God, the power of God. I believe we're going to see miracles like we've never seen before because Jesus is coming back. Amen. Right now, I'm starting to preach and all that. I don't want to do that right now. I'll save some of it for next week. But I'm just telling you, just pray as you hang on to hope that it's turnaround time. Amen? Say turnaround time. Turnaround. It's turnaround time. The things are turning. It's turnaround time. And so believe God, amen, to see the wonderful, awesome miracles of God. And some of those are meant to come through you and through me. Amen? That's how God works. That's what the kingdom is. Be encouraged. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for those of you that joined us online. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.